So this morning, we continue our series in Proverbs, and let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2 together. So let's read together. My child, if you accept my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you indeed cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk blamelessly, guarding the paths of justice and preserving the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Prudence will watch over you, and understanding will guard you. It will save you from the way of evil, from those who speak perversely, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, those whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. You will be saved from the loose woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the partner of her youth and forgets her sacred covenant. For her way leads down to death and her path to the shades. Those who go to her never come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Therefore, walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will abide in the land, and the innocent will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for this morning that we can gather together as a family to sing songs of praise, to gather around your table, to eat the body and blood of our Lord, and to share in that, to hear from your word what you might have to say to us, and that you would transform us by your Holy Spirit even through this time of worship. Thank you for some who are visiting here and some who have been gone for a while and are able to reunite. We just pray for safety for those who are still traveling. We pray that you would bless those that each of us is thinking about now, those people that we individually want to lift up to you in prayer. God, help us to turn our worries, our fears, any flaw, to turn it over to you and to let you transform us today and every day from today. We pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. What is it that you really want? I'm not talking about a Christmas list, birthday presents for you three. But what you really want, what are the desires of your heart as you look at your own life? You say, this is really what I need. This is really what I desire, what I want. What do you come to God today truly seeking? And it may be a little different for each one of us, but I bet it's something good. I bet it's something godly is what you actually want for your life. But we can't get to something good and godly by going a bad way, an evil way. And that's what we see in our passage today. It's very interesting, that Solomon wrote most of the book of Proverbs. There's a couple places that says these were things that he collected from someone else. But most of it is from the hand of Solomon. And when Solomon got asked that exact same question, he had a very good and godly answer. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, God appears to Solomon and he says, "Ask what I should give you. Ask me for anything." Part of what Solomon says in response is, "O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I'm only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in." Now, he was a grown man, but it's his humility. I don't know what I'm doing, and you've given me this great responsibility to be the king. "Your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted." Here's what he asks for. "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." Solomon asks for wisdom, understanding, discernment. So, as he writes this book of Proverbs, he's continually expressing what it means to walk in the way of wisdom, to walk in this path of godliness that God has set out before him and even challenged him. He said, "If you walk in my ways," God said to Solomon. What Solomon truly sought was that perception. You know, and I see a lot of prayer requests that you guys fill out, and so many of them are asking for clarity, perception about what God's will is, and let God's will be done. You know, and that's something we very much want. And that's something Solomon wanted. And God was so glad that he asked for that, that he granted him that and granted him everything else that he needed and more. So the same sort of ideas we could see coming out in Proverbs chapter 2, if you'll turn back there with me. I'll remind you that the first 9 chapters of Proverbs are a conversation. It's sort of a one-way conversation, but sometimes that's how parenting goes. Okay, it's a father speaking to his young son about what path he should pursue in life. And it becomes very clear in this passage. It's laid out very clearly, I mean. And the choice that we will be faced with, and it is the same that he's faced with here. Will you choose the path of righteousness or choose the path of wickedness to get to that thing that you truly desire? So if you look at the whole chapter, I find it broken up in this way. The first 4 verses, you'll see it's if you do this, if you do this, if you do this. Then in verse 5, again in verse 9, then these are the outcomes. I think verse 12 and verse 16 also shift into here are the outcomes of what will happen if you'll do the first thing that was said. And then at the very end, my version says therefore. I think a lot of them say so or thus, or the King James says that thou mayest. If that helps you understand it, my hat's off to you. But my version says therefore at that point at verse 20. And
I do think as you look through the whole thing, this framework helps you understand what the fatherly advice is. If you'll go this way, these are the things that will happen. Therefore, here's my advice again in a nutshell and what I've been saying. So first, verses 1 to 4. My child, if you... I want you to listen for all the parallelisms. This is how Hebrew poetry works. If you accept my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you indeed cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. If. He says, first off, accept my words. Accept the wisdom that other people have to offer, especially your parents. Accept my words and treasure them within you. See the great value of the wisdom that's there. That was one question we explored last Sunday. What are the commandments and teachings that your parents or previous generation gave to you that you treasure? And you know that it was good, godly wisdom, good advice to follow. He says, treasure this up, and there's going to be a change in your ear and a change in your heart in the direction. But it begins with this posture of humility and willingness to listen. Then it becomes more active, crying out for insight and raising your voice for understanding. Praying for that wisdom as Solomon did. As James also invites us to pray for wisdom, and God gives generously. And then maybe the most active, verse 4, seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. So if you found a map in your attic and unrolled the creaky brown paper and blew off all the old dust and there was a dotted line that ended with a big red X on this property that you'd bought, you had no idea. What is this, man? It's like, wow, these are our boundaries. This is our house right here. Okay. I know what you'd be spending that afternoon doing. Go buy a new shovel and then come back home and try to make 20 paces this way and 50 paces that way until you get to the old oak tree and dig up this treasure. You know, you would do whatever it took to at least search this down. But what God is saying is the words of wisdom from God are more valuable than that. And so I should know what each of us is going to do this afternoon. What, now that it's laid in front of us here, wow, here we got X marks the spot. Here's this great hidden treasure in the Word of God. Will I be dedicating my life even today to searching for that? It's more important than silver. Seeking it, it's more important than treasure. So that's the if. If you'll do these things, searching out this wisdom from God, then starting in verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk blamelessly, guarding the paths of justice and preserving the way of His faithful ones. So you see, this is very clearly not about worldly wisdom. It's not about book smarts. It's not about street smarts. This is spirit smarts. Okay, he's saying, if you'll seek this kind of wisdom that I'm talking about, you will find the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. This is the first aspect of an outcome. You will find this. The fear of the Lord, which we saw in chapter 1, verse 7, is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of knowledge is to fear the Lord. And then Verse 9, you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path, which again ties in with chapter 1, verse 3, which is saying the whole book of Proverbs is for gaining instruction and righteousness and justice and equity. These things that we truly want and truly desire are available if you'll listen for God's guidance. So you will find the fear of the Lord. You will find this path of righteousness. Then going on from verse 12. Verse 9. He then meditates for a bit just before this about who God is and how He is the ultimate source of all wisdom. Then verse 9, you will understand righteousness, justice, equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Prudence will watch over you, and understanding will guard you. You'll have that clarity of God's will that so many of us want in individual situations. I'm not saying it's like a crystal ball or, more contemporary, a magic eight ball. am I the only one who knows about the magic eight ball? I didn't get much response. Okay. My favorite one was shake up the magic eight ball and it says, ask again later. Like, oh, forget you. I'm not talking about that kind of thing, but it's this honing of your ability to listen to God and discern what He wants. What He wants from you, what He wants for you. Because what can we actually give to God except faithfulness and trust and just need? That's really what we present to God, is our own need. But this is what He wants for you. He wants you to get to that place where you want to be. He wants your heart to be aligned with His so that you can see the beauty of the treasure that He has for you. And so this praying for it, this seeking for it, is just your heart becoming aligned with the heart of God. Now then, verse 12. It will save you from the way of evil. This understanding, this knowledge, this wisdom. It will save you from the way of evil, from those who speak perversely, who forsake the paths of uprightness, who walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, those whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. And so there's twice here that He talks about salvation. The first one here is in verse 12. It says, this wisdom from God will save you from the way of evil, from walking in these paths that may seem like the right way to go. There may be a lot of people going that way, but it ultimately leads to destruction. It's the same kind of folks that you see in verse 1 tempting Him. Come on, let's go mug somebody and take their money. You know, there'll be quick gain in it for us. You'll be saved from that way because you'll have this clarity of mind to see that's not the way to go. Which so many people and us at many times, all of us at some times, also don't perceive that. And we try to go down this way of evil or wicked or crookedness, deviousness, because we think that's going to get us to life, but it never does. And then the other mention of salvation is in verse 16. So let's read that. You will be saved from the loose woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the partner of her youth and forgets her sacred covenant. For her way leads down to death, and her paths to the shades. Those who go to her never come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. If that seems really specific, it is a almost ubiquitous temptation to go for something that's not yours and that was never meant to be yours. I do think it is this specific in this case. It's a father telling a young man what he should and shouldn't look after. And I told you last week that some of the themes that come up over and over is don't go for easy money and don't go for easy pleasure. All right? They actually don't get you where you want to go. And so that's the salvation from the way of the evil and salvation from the adulteress. It's ultimately salvation from death itself, because her way leads to death. That's where it goes. How do you know? Because you're able to listen to the wisdom that God has given through other generations, including the inspired author here. That's how we know. That's how that ends up. Or maybe you know because you lived it and you see how bad it gets when we walk in our own direction. But the other thing about this section, 16 to 19, is developing this theme that's going to come up over and over, especially in chapters 1 through 9, where the young man is faced with a choice of not only two paths, but also two women. And you see these women being portrayed in different ways over and over through these chapters. Earlier in chapter 1, and we looked at it last week, Wisdom was the first woman we're introduced to. And she's standing out on the corner and calling for the simple to listen to her and pleading with them to come her way and come after her. Now here we're introduced to this seductress who's also pleading and enticing for him to come her way. Many commentators will call these Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, or Foolishness. And they're both trying to compete for the affections of this young man. And all of us can put ourselves right in his shoes and see that. There is one way that appeals to your mind and your spirit and what you know makes sense and what you know is good and godly, and it actually ends up getting you where you want to go. But you also have this appeal to self-centeredness and easy pleasure and easy money, and it just seems like it's an appeal to your flesh, it's an appeal to your pride. And so we can see what this young person in the text here is being faced with. And are you going to listen to someone who appeals to you with God's wisdom? Or will you listen to the seduction of the world, the enticement to live in a way that you know is not God's way? Which one will you listen to? He then closes at verse 20 to 22. The father is saying, all right, here's everything that I've said, and I'm sending you forward. Of course, he's not done talking to him. This one-way conversation lasts for a while, but this is the conclusion of the chapter and of this section. Therefore, walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the just. For the upright will abide in the land, and the innocent will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. So this is his therefore. Walk in this righteous way. And if you do, you will remain in the land. In this sense, your version may even say they'll be cut off from the earth. Earth and land are interchangeable in Hebrew, just as they are in English. But the idea of land is extremely important to the Hebrew mind, especially the ancient Hebrew mind, because God promised Abraham, part of the promise he made to him was, I'm going to give you this land. And you will remain there, and it will be a great blessing to you, milk and honey and all that, if you'll follow my ways. But if you don't, it's going to be bad. You're going to lose all the blessings. And so he said that kind of thing. And here the land becomes what God wants you to have, what you also want to have. It's not just what you need, but more than you need. All your desires fulfilled in this land, which is why so many of our songs about heaven talk about crossing the Jordan and going into this land that is brighter than day. It's this idea that holds over from the Old Testament of the promised land of Israel is also our heavenly home. A place you do not want to be cut off from or rooted out of, but a place that you want to abide in, remain in. This is where we want to be. This is the desire of our hearts, to be with God forever. Now, how do we get there? Listen to what God has to say, and He'll guide you. Now then, I picked a few passages from other parts of Proverbs after the first 9 chapters that get at this same idea. And at least today, the majority of the ones that I wanted to share come in chapter 10. There's quite a few in chapter 10, which is where the 2-line Proverbs of Solomon begin. So if you'll look at these few, I think you'll see this same theme continues to come out throughout Proverbs as we're faced with this choice between righteous and wicked. Chapter 10, verse 7. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. That this seems to be speaking about the legacy left behind. And for how many of you is that a great desire? Not so that you're built up and everyone thinks so well of you, but that the blessing that has been brought because of your life lasts longer than your life does. That your kids, grandkids, your friends, the people that you've ministered to, whoever it is, that they continue going in the right direction, even when you're not around anymore. And he says, so the memory of the righteous is a blessing. Those who think about you, even when we're not even talking about death, just remembering your presence in their life. And you're going, wow, that's a blessing just to think about this person and the example they are and how much they build me up. But the name of the wicked will rot. And I think it's supposed to be just that disgusting. You know, you think of decay and just the stench, the disgustingness of all of it. And that's where this ends up. A wicked person will not be remembered well, will not be a blessing. Now then, chapter 10, verse 24, what the wicked dread will come upon them, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. What do the wicked dread? They dread being caught because it leads to death. Exactly. You know, always looking over their shoulder, make sure some competitor is not coming up or law enforcement is not coming or their spouse is going to find out or their kids are going to find out or whoever it is that they want to hide their wickedness. And we talked about this in our Bible class this morning. Do you want to hide and cover up, or do you want to get well? Was the question that was asked in class. And here, he's saying that they're constantly looking over their shoulder and dreading what's going to come. And he said that is exactly what's going to come upon them. Being found out, being punished, ultimately death. But the desire of the righteous will be granted, which is why I asked you the question at the beginning, what is the desire of your heart? What do you truly want? And if it's something good and godly, God will grant it to you, following after His way. And then the very next verse, chapter 10, verse 25, when the tempest passes, the wicked are no more, but the righteous are established forever. The tempest is going to come. The storm is going to come. There's going to be difficulties in your life. But he says, if you're walking on this path, even though it is hard, even though few people are on it, that's actually the high road. That's the good road. That's the one you want to be on. You will be established. The rest will be washed away. And every time I read Proverbs, I think of something that Jesus said, usually something he said in the Sermon on the Mount. So you probably know where I'm going already, and that's good. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27, at the close of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." Any difference at all between the trials that the wise and the foolish face? No. It's the same. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house. That's going to happen whether you're following God or not. The difference is, what's your foundation? Who's your rock? What are you building your house on? Is it the rock of Christ? Or as the song says, all else, which is sinking sand. I think Jesus was familiar with this book. He says a lot of similar things to what we find in Proverbs. But one of the twists here is that Jesus is saying, "I'm that righteous way for you to walk on." And he's inviting you, as Lady Wisdom did, by appealing to your heart and your mind and your spirit to come this way and be transformed and be held close. Come into the land that I've prepared for you, the place that I have for you, and you will be secure because you'll be one of my righteous. Now then, I want to close with this one other verse from Proverbs 18 and verse 10. This is the promise to each of us if we will listen to the Word of God. I'm not talking about you listening to me, what I'm saying, except insofar as I'm saying what God is saying and through His Word. And this is what it says, Proverbs 18, 10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." And so you're invited this morning to run into the name of the Lord, to become a part of His family. Claim Him as your Lord, the one that you needed to come and save you and rescue you, and say, I'm wanting to listen to Him. I don't want to listen to whoever I've been listening to. And I want to walk with Him. I don't want to walk in these other directions that I've been walking. I want to walk with Christ. You can do that today by confessing His name, putting Him on in baptism, and begin walking on that journey with Him. Jesus is this strong tower that you and I are invited to run into and to be kept safe. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this morning that we can look into Your Word and truly be built up. I pray that people's hearts and minds and spirits were engaged today by what You've had to say, and that we don't go from here unchanged, but we act on what we've heard from Jesus. We actually put these things into practice. So that it's not just words, but wisdom, true wisdom, of knowing how to make godly decisions in our lives, knowing how to discern Your will, and having the courage to walk in it. God, I pray that You'd bless each of my brothers and sisters here today. I pray if there are any who are not in Your family, but they're here among us, I just pray that You would grant them the conviction and repentance that's required to turn a heart from the way of evil to the way of the righteous. And I pray that You would do that for anyone who has that need, that they might respond in faith, come to Christ, be baptized in His name, and begin to serve You as we march together to that land of promise. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.